Have you ever had trouble when it comes to trusting God? You know, the situation that we all find ourselves in, maybe that trouble has been more apparent in your life as you kind of the unknown is always at our door. All of the news programs, that seems to be the news is constantly changing as far as, you know, what we can expect, what's taking place in the world today. And maybe all of that has caused you to take a step back when it comes to trust. You know, this morning, I believe as we dive into Matthew chapter 21, we're going to see how Jesus called his disciples to trust, and that as they stepped out in faith, they began to have this confidence that Jesus was always going to do what he said he was going to do. That when Jesus said something was going to happen, it was always going to happen. And even if it didn't make sense to them, even if it left them with a sense of wonder or a sense of curiosity, that they didn't have to worry. All they had to do was trust, to act, and obey. And as we dive into Matthew 21 this morning, I believe that it's this type of trust that really transforms our worship. You know, when we begin to sing and praise God, not just with our voices, but with our life, that the more we trust God, the louder that worship seems to be. The more that we've experienced stepping out in faith and watching God come through time and time and time again, the more our voices raise when we sing those songs, the more we're ready to act when we feel like God is calling us to act. Our trust truly does impact our worship. And I want you to just kind of grab onto that thought today as we turn to Matthew 21. Turn to Matthew 21, if you would, chapter 1 and following. You know, this passage, we find Jesus, he's getting ready to enter into Jerusalem. And just before, he's been through the town of Bethany where Lazarus was risen from the dead. You know, people have known this miracle, that they've heard of this miracle. It just happened not too long ago. And so as Jesus is passing through, not only that miracle, but other miracles that have been taking place, there's much excitement around Jesus. There's this belief that the Messiah truly has come. And we pick up in Matthew 21, verse 1, and it says this: as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me." Go to the village. At once you'll find a donkey and her colt. Untie them and bring them to me. You know, this simple statement, not very difficult to understand, but really one that does challenge trust. You know, is there really going to be a donkey? Is there really going to be a colt? Can I really take this, something that's not mine, and it's going to be okay? You know, is all of these questions that can begin to come. But what we find is that Jesus continually calls us to trust and obey. Isn't that true of the disciples' life? When they walked with Jesus, you see them time and time again, Jesus calling them to trust and obey, to trust and obey. It's kind of like that old hymn, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." And we see that throughout scriptures. In fact, I would be willing to guess, if you've walked with Jesus for very long, you've seen that in your own life. That is, Jesus calls you to trust and obey. You know, maybe it's trusting in the way that he's calling you to respond in your marriage. Maybe it's trusting the way in which he's calling you to respond and to steward your finances. Maybe it's trusting in the way that he calls you to live your faith out in front of other unbelievers. And this, you know, this trusting of the way in which we're to love our enemies. All of these things that sometimes it doesn't seem to make sense in the moment. But there's just something powerful when we obey it, that we find that on the other side of that obedience, there's this peace, there's this truth that is Jesus Christ himself. That as we trust and obey, we find what Jesus talks about when he says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." You know, and so as we look at this call, that just know that Jesus continually calls us to trust and obey. He's going to continually to call you to trust and obey. If you're not a believer here this morning, maybe you're sitting on your couch, maybe you've said, maybe you're at your table, maybe someone invited you to tune in, maybe you found yourself in the house and everyone's pulled this up online and you kind of can't escape it right now. But when we talk about this relationship with Jesus Christ, and we talk about how to have eternal life, how to have a peace and a hope that this world does not afford, only through Jesus, to confess your sins upon Him, to call upon Him as Lord and Savior, it just seems kind of simple that that's what all it would take for me to call upon Jesus, to give Him my life. But we have to obey it. We have to trust that Jesus is who He says He is. We have to trust that He did what He said He did. And we have to believe that He's going to continue to do what He says He's going to continue to do. And that when we trust and obey, we can experience the joy. And so wherever you're at this morning, just know that in a relationship with Jesus, much like the disciples found out, He's going to continually call us to trust and obey. Well, what do we trust? Well, first we have to trust His timing, right? Isn't that the hardest thing to trust? I don't know about you. Sometimes God's timing is so different than my timing. I find it difficult in trusting that He knows best because, you know, I think we all think we're pretty smart, right? And we've all kind of been around the block once or twice. And so we kind of have this idea of, man, if God would just do it the way that I think He should do it, my timing, I really believe, it's the right timing, only to find out that sometimes we've forced things that didn't need to be forced. We've drug our feet when God was calling us to go. And if we would have just trusted God's timing, how much better things would have been. You know, sometimes maybe you have trusted God's timing and you realized how perfect His timing truly is. That had we been too early, had we been too late, we would not have experienced what God wanted us to experience. But we trusted His timing and God led us in a very powerful way. And so He calls us to trust His timing. And, you know, as we look at the situation we find ourselves in, even today, sometimes His timing is so difficult to trust. But I believe that God is calling us to trust His timing, to believe that He knows best. We have to obey His directions, right? The disciples didn't just kind of follow generally the directions of Jesus. They didn't just, you know, kind of thought, you know, hey, we don't need to go to the next town to get the donkey. I know Bob down the road, he's got a donkey. Let's just borrow Bob's donkey. No one will know. No. It's not just about trusting God's timing. It's about trusting and being obedient to His directions. Well, what is God calling you to do? You know, as you think about your life, what is it that God has been calling you to do that maybe you've been trying to kind of do it your own way, but you really just haven't done it very simply the way that God has called you to do it? Maybe He's had you called you to be obedient, to have a conversation with someone. And you know it's going to be a difficult conversation, so you've been kind of beating around the bush and maybe you've kind of, you know, set hints around and you've been trying to circumvent the whole process, but God is just saying, look, just be obedient. Just trust me. Obey my directions. You know, when I say to go to that person, I don't mean to go through another person to get to that person. I just mean to go to that person. You know, the scripture says if you have conflict with someone, don't go to their mom who goes to their grandma who kind of maybe gets around to them. No. Scripture says go one-on-one to that person to work things out. You know, sometimes our willingness to be obedient can begin to break down when we just don't feel like what God is calling us to do makes sense. And I want to encourage you today that just as the disciples, as they follow Jesus' directions specifically, and as they found that it was just as Jesus said, I believe the same can be true for you just as it is for me. That if you'll trust in God's timing, if you'll be obedient to His direction, you're going to be amazed at what God is able to do with that type of heart. And so we see the disciples, they do just what Jesus says. And here's what Scripture says. Jesus continues on in verse 3. He says, if anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them and that He will send them right away. Verse 4, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Verse 6, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. Now this was a great fulfillment of prophecy. You know that this whole prophecy throughout the Old Testament that would talk about the Messiah's coming and how the Messiah was going to come. And Jesus was fulfilling this prophecy. But as the disciples went and they did just what Jesus had told them to do in the timing and being obedient to the very detail of direction, it was just as he had said. They found the donkey and the colt. They brought it back. They threw their cloaks upon it. You know, this idea of throwing cloaks before someone, of palm branches that we're about to see in Scripture. This was all we find, even in Leviticus, that far back in the Old Testament, where this was a matter of prestige, a matter of honor, a matter of celebration. The way in which you celebrated, the way that you honored someone as they were coming in triumphantly. And the disciples, they find themselves right here in this moment. You know, they've been following Jesus now for 3 years. And Jesus had tried to kind of prepare them for what was to come, but they still really didn't understand. But here in this moment, they're getting ready to see that which they've been kind of waiting for, this moment where we proclaim that the Messiah has come, that he's here. And just the excitement that must have been on that road as they were walking to town. Just the excitement that must have been as they were throwing their cloaks over so that Jesus could sit on the donkey so that he could ride into town. And just, I mean, can you imagine the excitement that was there, even amidst the disciples? That, I mean, this is it. This is what we've been talking about, what we've been waiting for. And just look at what Jesus here. I mean, he looks awesome. I mean, just this idea of the way in which they found themselves. And this is this amazing timing of God. You know, they had wanted this to come for years now. And as Jesus often helped them understand it, it wasn't yet his time. You know, as you look at history, I mean, the time in which Jesus came, the time in which he was crucified, as he's getting ready to go and as the Passover is being celebrated this coming weekend, and as he was going to be the perfect Passover Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God to pay the price, the penalty for our sins. I mean, it's just this amazing timing. And how oftentimes we want to get ahead of God. Sometimes we want to drag behind God. And church, just don't miss the joy that comes in walking with God and being obedient, even when we don't understand the things that he is calling us to do. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. Are you doing what the Lord has called you to do? Are you doing what the Lord has called you to do? Now here's the thing. He didn't send all the disciples. He doesn't call all of us, you know, at times to do the same things. Maybe he's calling you to do something very specific in your life. You know, there's certain things I believe he calls all of us to do. I think in Matthew 28 we realize that he's called all of us to go, to spread the good news, to teach others, you know, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them the things that he's commanded us. I mean, there's certain calls upon our life just as believers in Jesus Christ. But make no doubt, and I know that you understand this, that God may be calling you to do something very specific. You know, I know throughout my life, there's been moments in my life where I just know that he's calling me to do something very specific, whether it's in a leadership role or sometimes even in a simple of an act of just, you know, picking up the phone and calling someone, encouraging someone, praying for someone, taking that moment in the store when the conversation has just kind of all of a sudden turned spiritual. No one was really expecting it, right? I mean, it's Dollar General or it's Walmart or it's Target or wherever you found yourself in before the quarantine. And you know, you just kind of feel this leading of God to, you need to ask that person where they're at. Or you need to ask that person if you can pray for them. And he wasn't asking anybody else. It's just obvious that I'm the one here in this moment that he's calling to be obedient. Are you doing what the Lord has called you to do? I can't answer that for you. But I pray that this morning as we sit screen to screen, that you would let that question wrestle with you today. Are you doing what the Lord has called you to do? Well, we go on in the story, and we see in Matthew 21, verses 8 through 9, we see that a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, just as Bella and Luke showed us this morning, shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Hosanna being this word of praise, this literally come save us. You know, this idea that the Savior has come, that the salvation has come, and the idea of just waving the palm branches. You know, I love this thought. You know, ever since I've been a kid growing up, it seems like every Palm Sunday we have kids waving palm branches, and I just love it because, you know, it's just so symbolic of what would have happened on that day, that triumphal entry of Jesus. I mean, it had to be exciting for everyone that was there, but can you imagine how exciting it was for the kids? I was thinking about that this morning as I was watching the kids wave the palm branches, and they were so excited to wave it in front of the screen, right? To just kind of shout and to wave. But I mean, can you imagine with the crowd there and with the cloaks that are being thrown down before Jesus in honor, and the people who are running and they're chopping off the branches and they're giving them to people as quick as they can chop them off, and the kids are grabbing them. I want one. They get one and they're running and alongside and waving the palm branches. How exciting that must have been. And I thought, man, do we still get that excited about the thought of Jesus coming into our life? Do we still get that excited about the thought of him coming into the lives of others? Do we still get that excited about the thought that we get to celebrate, that we get to proclaim that the Messiah is here? I mean, I just hope that we never lose that enthusiasm. That we never lose that sense of wonder, that sense of awe, that sense of, I want a branch. You know, I don't want to be left without a branch. I want to be one celebrating. Are you celebrating here this morning? My prayer is that you are. And if you're not, and I understand that in this moment that we find ourselves in, there's been a lot of difficulty. There's been a lot of economic difficulty. There's been a lot of physical difficulty. There's been a lot of strain emotionally. And in the midst of those moments, those dark moments, sometimes the hardest thing that we can do is to be joyful in the Lord. You know, just to celebrate and to praise. And I believe the enemy begins to whisper all of the reasons why we can't and why we shouldn't and why we can't believe others are. And it's because the Messiah has come. That truth has not changed in your life or in mine. Our finances can go up and down. Our 401ks can go up and down. Our families, I mean, just the quarantine can kind of get to us at times. But church, never forget that the Messiah has come. And there is reason. There's reason to celebrate that truth. And this morning, maybe you just need to be reminded of it because you've just been kind of beaten down. And maybe it's just by pressing that button and say, you know what, I want to be, but I just need some prayer because right now I just feel down. Right now my family's in need. And what we've been talking about this last couple of weeks is that if you find yourself in need, and I don't care what the need is, you know, spiritual, relational, financial, don't feel like you have to walk through this thing alone. Give us a call. We would love to just meet with you on the phone, to talk with you, to see how we can help as a church body to meet those needs, because the Messiah has come. We have gathered as a church. There is reason to celebrate, and one of those reasons is because we are not alone. Well, as the crowds gathered and as they were shouting Hosanna, we realized it was a very large crowd. In fact, it began to get attention throughout the whole city. It says in verse 10, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" Right? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, just this moment of Jesus coming down through the street, and I've never been to Jerusalem. Some of you have. And man, the pictures that I've seen from some of our church family who've gone, it just makes me, I just want to go see it myself. You know, just the thought of walk kind of where Jesus walked. But as you look at the city and you see this road where Jesus would have come through,
And all of the crowds gathered around, and there's one man sitting on a donkey with this colt tied beside him, kind of going through town. All of the town all of a sudden begins to get stirred, and it begins to ask the question, who is this? Who is this? Who is this one on the donkey? Who is this one that everyone's making a fuss about? Verse 11, the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. You know, the question that came to me was, does your praise cause others to question? You know, the reason why the crowd was questioning in this moment is because the praise was at an all-time high. I mean, it would have been one thing if as Jesus was coming through town, people were like, hey, you know, good to see you. Great to have you here today. So glad that you've come. You know, make yourself at home. It wasn't that type of praise. It wasn't this polite praise. It was this like exuberant excitement, you know, Luke and Bella type of praise, right? This idea that we can't praise him loud enough. You know, one of the other gospel writers writing of this moment, it says that they commanded Jesus to tell his followers to stop. And he said in this moment, look, if I tell them to stop, the rocks will cry out. I mean, right? It's that type of moment. And you're not going to stop the crowd. You're not going to stop the praise. And it was just this excitement level that had risen to this great disease. People began to understand what it meant that the Messiah had come, that he was here, you know, to heal the sick, to save the lost, and that all that they had been praying for, that it was answered through Jesus Christ. And this praise caused other people to question. Does your praise cause others to question? Who is this one that you're praising? Who is this Jesus that you keep talking about? I mean, I've heard other people talk about him, but man, you're really excited about him. You know, there's something about excitement that causes other people to lean in. I think part of it is because we just don't want to miss out, right? There's something inside of us that just this fear of missing out, this idea that, you know, if you're excited about something, I want to be excited about something. And there's something about our praise when it's done from a true heart of worship, when we've trusted God and we've seen him come through. I mean, the more that happens in our life, the louder our praise gets, I believe. It's why some of our older saints, right? Right, you know, when they sing to the top of their lungs, why they can't help it. If you ask for a testimony, they're going to give a testimony. Why? Because they've seen God do so many things in their life. They've trusted him time and time and time again. And the more that we trust, the louder our praise gets, because we realize the one more deeply than we once knew. We realize what he's done for us and what he desires to do for others. And so does your praise cause others to question? Man, what a great thought. I want my praise to cause others to question. Who is it that you're praising? Why is it that you believe so deeply? Because when it happens, just as the disciples said, we're able to tell them about Jesus. It's not emotional hype. We're excited because there's one who can when we can't. We're excited because there's one who's forgiven us when we've lived a life that's unforgivable. There's the one that while we were yet sinners, he came to die for us. That if we put our faith, our trust, our hope in him, that we have promise of eternal life. There's one that's promised a hope and a joy and a peace that this world cannot afford us. That it doesn't know. That it's only found through Jesus Christ. There's an excitement that's there. And that excitement points others towards Jesus. Does your praise cause others to question? I hope that this Palm Sunday, it does. God's timing is perfect and his plan is complete. You know, as we look at Jesus coming into Jerusalem, as I said, his timing in this moment, it truly was of God. Jesus said, I don't do anything without my Father telling me. He had this relationship with his Father that amazingly we can have as believers in Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, that the Lord is able to direct our steps, just as he directed the steps of Jesus. For those who would ask, that they will receive. You know, that this amazing thought that God's timing can be perfect in our life as well. And that his plan is complete. That he didn't find himself in a moment where he thought, oh, I've forgotten about this, right? I wasn't thinking. I had it all written down. I forgot my notes. You know, it was complete. His plan was complete. And it included you. It included me. That is, he entered into Jerusalem. His desire was that no man would be lost. But it says that he wept over Jerusalem because he knew that there would be those who don't get it. And my prayer is that we would all get it. That we would all be willing to trust and obey. That we would all be willing to realize that, man, God's timing is perfect in your life and in mine. That there's a reasons for the mountains, there's a reasons for the valley. That maybe the direction that God has us on, it's not meant to harm us, but it's meant to draw us closer to him. It's meant to make us more like him. And although we would have loved to do it differently, the path that we had chosen would have crazily enough, it would have drawn us away from God. When he desires to draw us near, to understand and to believe, to simply have trust and to obey, that his timing is perfect and his plan is complete. Let's praise the one who has come to save. Hosanna, save us. What I love about that is that Jesus' response was, that's why I came. That's why I'm here. It won't be through military might, even though everyone was thinking that. Everyone was expecting this revolt over Rome, that their Messiah would lead the charge. And it was going to be different. It wasn't going to make sense to some. But as they trusted the Lord's timing, as they obeyed what he called them to do, they would realize just how perfect his plan was. I believe the same thing's true in your life. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what you're going through today. But I don't have to. Because God does. He knit you together in your mother's womb. As scripture says, before a word is even on the tip of your tongue, he knows it completely. He desires to have a relationship with you. And not just one that is simply a commission, a committing to him and then leaving us to go on our way. He desires to walk with you daily, to draw you closer and closer, to lead you deeper and deeper into this idea of trusting and obeying so that our praise becomes louder and louder and that we impact this world for Jesus Christ. So today on Palm Sunday, we celebrate the one who's come to save. We celebrate the one who accomplished the mission. We celebrate the one who has risen, as we'll be celebrating next week. And my hope is that all of us can be those who celebrate. I want you to pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, God, I pray for the needs that are represented here this morning. Lord, those who maybe they've struggled trusting your timing. They've struggled trusting being obedient to what you've called them to do. And Lord, I just pray that today in the silence that they would hear your small voice. Just simply speak to them the truth of who you are, of what you've come to do. Lord, the truth that you say, Lord, that we don't have to worry. Well, Lord, just as you know the sparrows that fall, God, how much more do you know us? Just as you clothe the grass of the field, Lord, how much more do you care about us? And God, I pray that today we would raise our branches. We would lay down our coats before you and we would celebrate who you are. Hosanna. The King has come. In Jesus' name, amen.